Hey everyone, welcome back to Tales from the Jungle Cruise. This week we sit down with Skipper Jer and Skipper Brittany in our first ever married skip interview. So exciting. These lovely skips were at Jungle with me in the late aughts, and I was so happy when I heard they were back in town over the holidays. We talk about dating Disney and fun times in the Tiki Room. It's a good chat. Hope you guys all enjoy. Now, we finally got our Skype recording issues worked out, so if you're a Walt Disney World Jungle Cruise skipper, or you used to be, and if you're a skipper who's not living in the Southern California area, we can chat now. We'd love to hear from you, so message us at junglecruise@gmail.com. It's very exciting, and you'll hear more about this soon. If you haven't visited us over at Facebook yet, that's a good place to connect with us and find out about upcoming skip gathers and new episodes. Facebook.com/junglecruise, C-R-E-W-S. So I'm not going to ramble on any more than I usually do. Ladies and gentlemen, Season 2, Episode 11, I present Love in the Lanai, our latest episode of Tales from the Jungle Cruise. Hi guys, welcome to Tales from the Jungle Cruise. We are in our second season of Fun and Games, and it is the middle of December. Beautiful snow has fallen on Disneyland. 4 or 5 inches on the... No, it's not true at all. It's California.
It tastes Frisbee. Like cinnamon.
Yes.
Next time you're in the park and taste the snow, it tastes like cinnamon.
It tastes like soap bubbles.
Shh!
That tastes
you're
like cinnamon.
You're gonna ruin it!
I'm not gonna get sued by people who are sucking down bubbles.
Oh, fine. You're no fun.
So... anyway, guys, welcome. As many of you know, this is great. We have a beautiful background music this time, which we'll see how much that shows up. But very Adventureland theme music in the background. So this will just be an epic episode.
Epic.
Very epic. This is episode... actually, I don't know when this is going to go. This may end up going in February. So we could have this be... You know, this actually is our first... Jungle Cruise Skippers in Love episode.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Yeah. Yes.
So when we talk, do you want to talk less about how it's sort of winter is starting and more that, you know, oh, it's been a really cold winter this year. Okay.
The lottery numbers for January are... Kidding.
We can go back in time. That's always good.
Yeah.
So I am wearing my Doctor Who shirt, so anything's possible.
So hi, Skipper Kyle, as always, your loving host of the Jungle Cruise podcast, sitting down with two of my contemporary skips, Skipper Jer, Skipper Brittany, who both worked at the same time as I did, which is what the word contemporary means, in case you have Google and didn't know how to look that up. But they are they have moved out of the California area and are back for their vacation, and I wanted to sit down because I know that we have some fun stories and fun things to talk about. So welcome, first of all. Hi, guys.
Hello.
We always like starting off with the where did you work and what brought you to the park?
So I started at the Opera House, and which was funny because when I hired in, and I hired into Adventureland, and in my interview I was saying, you know, I want like a spieling attraction, like guest interaction, I have theater background, aiming jungle, 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 jungle. And at the end of Traditions, they give me my paperwork, and it says Walt Disney Story, and I'm like, the Walt Disney... Opera House? I thought it was an Adventureland.
It is a spieling attraction.
It is. No, it was everything I had asked for. I just had no idea it was on the table. But Opera House was great. And then I did Jungle Cruise and Tiki Room, where if you ever heard somebody talk for about 2 minutes in the Tiki Room spiel about these doors good, these doors bad, so that you wouldn't go at the wrong doors, that was me. I was the queen of Tiki for a while. And then did the trains as well, and then went over to be on opening crew for Toy Story Midway Mania, and did the Dearly Departed Boomer and Stinger for all of about 3 shifts.
And the funny part of it was that I opened Boomer and Stinger over when California Adventure opened.
There you go.
So I birthed the baby, and you killed him.
Yeah, pretty much.
The other interesting, I think that you got the Queen of Tiki
thing after I did. Let me rephrase that.
We were
I don't think I was ever the Queen of Cheeky. They wouldn't let me wear the culottes. Well, they didn't know about me wearing the culottes.
No, it was like Jeff Wheeler, Helen, Henry, Oscar, and me at Tiki.
And that was right after the period where when I was in my second incarnation, between 02 and 05, I pulled Tiki opening at least 3 to 4 days a week. And it was because it was way before 50th anniversary. And it was not yet the place where they sent people on medical.
Mm.
So for some reason, I think probably a 5-month, it was most of one summer, I had opening shifts at Tiki on a very regular basis. To the point where the guest relations people would let me do the spiel.
Nice.
Let me do their guest relations tours. So
that's really interesting because I had Tiki knowledge as well, but I think I only saw it once.
And, you know, I wasn't on medical.
And that was because somebody had to go home early and they said go to costuming change and then come back. You're going to be on Tiki. Oh, thank you.
I think I remember the one day that you were there. It was exciting. It was with balloons and cake.
And
no,
Mickey came over to congratulate me, which was very nice.
I was never on medical. I think I just somebody in scheduling liked me. I preferenced it and actually got it. And you know that, you know, scheduling preferences are like, you know,
there's a
black
random
magic.
Yeah, there's a voodoo that's involved there that it's a voodoo that no one understands.
They never gave me anything else I preferenced. I would say, you know, different attraction every day, and I'd open my schedule 8 to 5 jungle every day. It's like, I hate you.
Well, when I would get the long streaks of jungle, because what was tough for me was 3 years in when I would get random guest control shifts.
Yeah.
I was like, I have seniority. Why am I getting these shifts?
See, I always wanted events because I love being, you know, shunted around the park to random places. But I think my worst jungle streak was 4th of July week, 12 hours, full week of 12-hour shifts at Front Load on my bad knee.
Now it's 8s. I mean, from what I understand, there are no scheduled overtime shifts anywhere in the resort.
Wow.
They have the staff. I mean, you know, back when we were around was when Anaheim still had a 3.7 unemployment rate, and you know now it's 8%, and you know people are banging down the doors at casting, and they have the pick of the litter.
And it seems like they're casting a lot, or they're scheduling a lot more than they need to. Like we went to, it's our first time seeing Cars Land and all of that, and we got our fast passes for Radiator Springs Racers, and they had a cast member staffed at every single fast pass machine, which yay efficiency, labor load.
And I see that like World of Color, that'll happen as well, where they'll have the real strong overs. Yeah, I don't see that in a lot of places.
Yeah.
I think Radiator Springs is a different animal because of how new it is and the fact that it's still... I have a fast pass for January 3rd that I'm looking forward to using.
Nice.
So...
Yeah, well, it worked. I mean, it moved us through so you don't have these people like, what does it mean not a valid fast pass? I'm putting in my ticket. Why is it not working? It's just, nope, give it to me. You're stupid. Give it to me. Here you go. Bye-bye.
All right, so we've talked now. Hi, Jer. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
We'll just sit here and talk while you're sitting there. Not that you were ever overshadowed in the enthusiasm
random,
department.
Or talking ad nauseum about absolutely nothing for as long as I possibly could.
Now, Jer, you came in after me, so what were you hired in 03, 04, somewhere in that range?
Later than that, I think I came in 05.
For 50th? Right. Were you there for 50th anniversary?
No, because I hired in December 05, so I caught
So I was
like,
there
like
in
06. Tails.
Okay.
And I actually came to Disneyland because I had a really bad day at my work, so I decided to drive the 6 hours from my hometown to Disneyland to apply just because I wanted a different job, and why not Disneyland? no plans beyond that. Went through the casting process, and they asked me what I would want to do, and I said, well, I want to do the Jungle Cruise. And they said, well, if we can't offer you the Jungle Cruise, what would you like to do? I said, nothing. I actually just kind of drove down here on a whim. So if they can't give me the Jungle Cruise, then I'll just go home and I'll suffer at my job that I hate. And I came back out and said, we love you. Jungle Cruise, we can definitely get you that. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did Jungle Cruise. I did Steam Trains, Tiki. Well, I had knowledge of Tiki. Tiki and I, it was just... Different worlds.
Didn't work out.
No.
Star-crossed lovers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't like Tiki. Something about banging a bird with a stick just really got me excited.
Especially when he calls you Senorita.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I didn't get Tiki.
Yeah. So anyways, and then you guys left, well, at the same time.
No, he left, he left pretty well before I did.
That's right, yeah, because you were, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so I went over and I opened Toy Story, and then I dropped down to CT, I opened Toy Story while I was taking a year off college, not entirely by choice, and when I went back for my senior year, I went down to CT so that I could, really so I could do Candlelight one last time, which, walking past the stage tonight, I almost cried. It was like, oh!
Unless it's February. If it's February, then no, she didn't walk by the stage at all.
So, last night was Dick Van Dyke.
I heard he was supposed to do, and then they had to cancel because of the rain.
Maybe it was 2 nights ago, it was Dick Van Dyke, and apparently my other friend who is, Skipper Kitty, who is a somewhat regular on this, not on the podcast, apparently was directly behind him, and he turned around and just was talking to the group of them, and someone handed him an umbrella, and he pretended it was a magic umbrella, and it was flying off, and apparently he was hamming it up like he was still on the set of Mary Poppins. So
that is wonderful. Yeah. Now, I think Dick Van Dyke may have done his shortly before. We had... Actually, it was funny because my friend at the studios would talk about the people that they would get, and he's like, yeah, they have trouble because they don't pay very well for it. I did. We had Andy Garcia and Hector Elizondo split it 1 year.
Well, now, you know, and I guess we should, for the people who don't know, because we get broadcast in, like, Europe, oddly enough, and, you know, other parts of the United States, why don't you explain what Candlelight is? Because that's kind of a fun... thing we get to do that.
So Candlelight started in 1957. It was kind of a way of thanking some of the sponsors and the donors, and it was this this performance that they had, you know, choir and full orchestra, and they get up on Main Street Station, and so it's been running every year. I think the last year I did it was the 50th anniversary, maybe it wasn't my last year, but it was the 50th anniversary of Candlelight and the 25th anniversary of The Living Christmas Tree, which we all get in green robes, and it's like a pyramid for the Disneyland cast choir. And so we'll process down Main Street singing carols, and then we'll have a celebrity narrator who tells the Christmas story, and we do a fairly long set of songs accompanied by a live orchestra, and it's just a really cool experience.
So what's the big drive for cast members to be involved with that? What do you think the push is? Because I got to be honest, it's one of the things that I always looked at, besides the fact that my vocal talents do not exist.
Well, it's a lot of rehearsal, and it's kind of that, you know, theater choir background of, you know, screwing around at rehearsals and meeting people and, you know, getting to do that. And because, you know, for a while that was the only choir I was doing, and I've been doing choir since sixth grade, so it was nice to be able to keep going, even if it was the same songs every year. Yeah, being part of it, although my first year was 06, and we were still, you know, ridiculously short-staffed, and so we put in our days off for Candlelight, and of course nobody got them, because they were denying them across the board, and so I was scheduled, my call time was 1 o'clock, I was scheduled Jungle 7:45 to 4:15. I was like, this isn't gonna work. They're like, okay, well, just tell us which day you're singing, we'll get you out of it. Okay, I'm singing Saturday. Oh, well, we can't do that. So finally I ended up in scheduling, bawling my eyes out. Like, I just want to do it. It's my first year. DT got my shift back filled only from 1 o'clock. So I worked Jungle Cruise 7:45 to 1 o'clock, changed backstage, like not even in costuming, like back in boat storage, you know, changed clothes, and ran up to the parade building and sang for 9 hours. So by the end of it, it's like, I know I should be enjoying my first Candlelight, but I want to die.
I am always amazed. The thing that frustrates me is you fight for a week to try to get a shift off, and they say there's no way you can do it. And then on that day, they're ERing people.
And yeah. They gave me Sunday off when I wasn't singing, but they wouldn't give me Saturday.
Yeah, that's one of those ones that, I mean, obviously they're only human, and I mean, augmented by Disney robotics, but they are only human, so...
Yeah. And I think they had so many people asking for it that they had to do it by seniority, but, you know, you had a lot of people asking for it randomly. It's like, no, I am singing for you, for your show.
So, but make sure that we keep an eye on that.
Okay.
Okay, so, So, I mean, obviously, Jareth, you did your drive down just to be there. I mean, what was that experience like? I mean, did you shift your entire life? Was it just that overnight, okay, well, I guess I'm doing this now?
Yeah, I drove back up and let them know that I was going to be leaving the company that I was working for before, who's a major grocery chain, so I don't want to, you know, upset anyone. Is it
Alpha Beta?
No.
Okay.
They were really surprised that I was leaving because they had just passed me over for a promotion for interesting reasons, to say the least, and said, well, we're going to give you a lateral promotion that included a cut in pay that would have put me on a different track. So when I went in and gave notice, they were really surprised. And when they asked, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to move to L.A. and I'm going to work at Disneyland. And I had no idea where I was going to stay at the time. It was, you know, I'd figure something out, and ended up actually reconnecting with my dad, who I hadn't really talked to for 10 years or so. So not only did I have a lot of fun and meet my wife at Disneyland, but I also, you know, it brought the family together.
So we should, I guess we haven't mentioned this yet, but you guys are our first married couple of skippers on the podcast. And we have a couple that may be getting married soon under Prop 8. Wait, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
But no, you guys actually the first couple, and it's one of those one of the aspects of working at the park we've always wanted to kind of delve into. But since we're talking about marriage and those things, I'll also throw out that I've had fun little changes in my life too. And as of 2 weeks ago, I'm now engaged to a beautiful young lady named Christy, who I'm very happily in love with. Who, oddly enough, not a Disney cast member.
How'd that work?
I don't know. I don't understand how that hits all.
Oh, many congratulations, we've said. But
well, you know, yeah, and I'm. It's always nice when nerdy, geeky, fun people, and you go, yes, they found their own. We were talking about this random note before we get into, you know, the whole wedding ring thing. I have friends in Seattle who had. They're very geeky as well. They'd gotten their rings like titanium carbide, very nerdy kind of materials. You know, the stuff I want to get my wedding ring out of is the aeronautical stuff that they made Wonder Woman's jet out of.
Nice.
I think that would be a good material to have a ring made out of.
Ours are palladium, which is Iron Man's core. This was before Iron Man came out, so when we saw the Iron Man movie and it's palladium, it's like, yes!
That's
us!
It's like a new level of nerdiness that just, you know...
It was kind of like enforced on you.
Yeah.
But I was totally
okay
with that.
To stumble into that beforehand.
Yeah, totally okay with that.
First of all, from a girl's perspective, because we have had a couple girls on the podcast. I'll go over names with you later, see if you know any of them. But, you know, we hear from guys on a pretty constant basis on having worked at Disneyland that it is... that dating in the Disney ethos is a big part of working there. And a lot of the girls we've talked to aren't always as thrilled with the way that guys look at that. I mean, what was your experience as a female cast member?
Well, dating was never really a thing with me because I had this kind of weird mentality from, you know, too many, like, chick-lit adventure novels of the whole, you know... The whole, you know, you get married at the end of it and, you know, dating isn't really a thing. And so I had this really just broken hang up that, you know, oh, if it's not going to be permanent, it's not worth my time, thinking that, no, you have to date and stuff first. And I've always been kind of oblivious. Like a couple of people have, you know, like a friend of mine who had worked at the hotel. He was just hanging out. His girl, I don't know what they were at the time. They're married now. But he was waiting for her to get off, so he was hanging out at the Opera House. We're just chatting. This guy comes over to me and is asking me a few questions, and I answer him politely and then give that kind of, okay, we're done now, smile. And, you know, he goes away. Caleb's like, he was totally hitting on you. Like, what? No. Yeah, he was hitting on you. No. I had no idea. But I had observed a lot...
She actually still does it with me, which becomes really awkward, you know?
It's like, oh, that's what you were doing. Oh, okay, we're doing it now.
Yeah.
I did observe that dating at Disney, that, you know, they said don't date Disney because there are only two ways it can go. Either you get married or it blows up completely and you can't stand to be in the same room.
You still have to work with the person.
And it destroys, and because everything is so tight-knit. So, like, when we started dating, we kept it very quiet. Like, even if we're in the park, like, I remember one time we were walking down Main Street holding hands, and then we see that the parade is coming through, and we just kind of slid apart. It's like, no, we're just hanging out. It's cool.
Yeah, on all the dates Jared and I went on, he didn't, you know, lead me to believe at all that anything was going on.
So. No, you know, and I wanted to keep it quiet, you know, for the same reason. Yeah.
Exactly.
No drama.
So how long were you guys together while you were working?
We started, actually, our five-year anniversary, dating anniversary, just passed this week. So it was...
You do some math.
So it was probably about four months before he left. And part of why that was, you know, because it was shortly after that that we actually got engaged. But we had hung out, we had, you know, been friends for a long time before that. And then we actually had some trouble calculating when we actually, our actual dating anniversary, because there had been plenty of times, you know, where we both worked trains and we had the same seniority. So a lot of times we'd be on the same train. And I remember one time where, you know, we pulled on the train, got off at 4:30, we're talking in K-Lot, seeing people come on for their shifts. Hi! Talking in K-Lot, see people coming off for their shifts.
Same people that we saw going on.
Same people. You know, so after the fireworks, let's decide to go to Denny's.
The fireworks in your relationship?
No, the actual K-Lot.
It was really crazy. It was like...
The 9:25 fire... And we got off at 4:30. 9:25 fireworks show. Watch it. Like, yeah, we should probably go get some food. Finally get home at about 12:30. And this was before we were actually dating. We're just, you know, hanging out, talking.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I will say is that unlike a lot of other... Like working at Sears or, you know, whatever... working at Jungle, you're put with a lot of people that are the same type of people. And I think that there's probably... there's dating connections that happen all throughout the park. But because Jungle attracts a certain kind of feel of person, mm-hmm. I think that there's more, you know, long-term relationships that have come off of that ride than any of the other ones that I know of. Just because, you know, we're all kind of... Yeah, you know, there's a sense of humor, and there's a little bit of showmanship, and there's the extreme egotism, and, you know, all of those things.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we found, you know, that we had a lot in common. And actually started talking because we had talked about getting a Jungle theater troupe going. Because we realized how many of us had theater experience and that we kind of missed it. Where we got kind of hung up is we wanted to do an original thing. We wanted to do Jungle Cruise, the musical. Mm-hmm. And so we got hung up in the creative process there. And then we started dating and had other things to do in our time together.
I wish you guys were around locally because we do... Part of the podcast we do is the Jungle Cruise radio plays, where we actually do full Jungle Cruise dramatizations. See, these are more reasons you need to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, there's Google Plus Hangouts. There's a lot of readers' theaters that go through there.
Yeah, so let's see. Google Plus, they right now have, 80, 90 people over there? Is that...
135 million.
135 million.
Okay.
Active
give
users.
Or take.
Okay.
We tend to be kind of evangelists because it's like Facebook but for smart people.
I was giving you the chance to shoot it. to shoot it out there.
We actually had robes made up, big hats,
yes.
Google Plus evangelists.
May
the search
was...
be with you.
so now you guys have moved away to some middle of the, literally middle of the country.
Literally.
The balancing point is
pretty close.
Pretty close there. And how long have you guys been gone now? It's been...
About a year and a half.
Yeah.
Coming up on 2 years.
Is it a stretch? I mean, are you... Do you miss the climate and the lifestyle and working at the park?
Kind of. I mean, yes and no, because Disney was always a, you know, there are parts of it that you really miss, and there are parts of it it's like, I'm so glad I don't have to put up with this anymore. Because I always tell people, you know, it's the best job I ever worked. It was the worst job I ever worked. You know, Dickensian kind of job, because the, you know, and part of what made it challenging was also, you know, what forged those relationships that made it so special was because you're in
war.
The trenches. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I try and explain to people that it really is kind of a different feel. Unlike any job you'll ever have, the people you work with are closer than family.
You see them more than
you
family.
You see them more than family. You'll spend 12, 13, 14 hours with these people every day. and you develop just a really interesting relationship. And actually, it kind of goes to the whole dating thing, that it makes it especially hard when two people are dating and they're having issues, because it doesn't just affect them. It ends up affecting everyone that's part of this family.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, you definitely knew when people were having tiffs.
Issues,
Because they, you know, there would be the obligatory strange energy in the jungle, and you knew when it was, you knew when the people were fighting. So
yeah,
it was actually funny, because on trains, I found out later that they apparently had a kind of policy where they wouldn't have couples on the same trains, because they worried that they would, you know, be messing around and not actually paying attention. And I didn't find out about this until later, because we usually were on the same train, because we did work so well together, and we were both, it's like, yeah, you know, we'll hang out at third conductor and all of that, but we're also going to make sure that we hit our bells, and we're both, like, crazy about that. You're the slow train! You need to get moving! You know, so.
I think that has to be a, I think that has to be one of those, like, very selectively enforced policies.
Yeah.
Because I think that's one legally that they would just have a nightmare with.
Yeah, but I think it was one of those that they tried to avoid, but it wasn't a problem with us. So, yeah, I've been doing that all day. It wasn't a problem with us, so they didn't have to kind of keep us away to keep us moving, because we actually worked better together.
I think that they just look at case by case and figure out who is, who's on board with it and who's, you know, in that silly mode of things. So, so now what's, as I'm watching our time here, because we have an abbreviated version of this episode tonight, because we're having a skip gather, and people come in to hang out with you guys at Trader Sam's. So in the time that you were there, I mean, any fun, I love the celebrity stories. I'm sure that you've, if you haven't heard it on the podcast, I'm not going to tell it again, but my Michael Jackson story, especially Tiki, I think you get lots of fun celebrity.
I actually was terrible at the celebrities. I never recognized them. They would pass right behind somebody and be like, oh, did you see that? Who? There was one time I saw, there was a plaid group that comes to Jungle, and I put them on the boat, and the woman I recognized, like tall, blonde, kind of recognized her, couldn't place her. So I asked, you know, Aaron Martin, who knows a lot of these people sometimes personally, and I was like, who's the blonde with the plaid? And she's like, no, it's the guy in the hat, Dodgeball, Chuck Norris. I'm like, really? You give me Dodgeball to go on that? But yeah, put him in a boat, had no idea. Caught the back of Sean Astin as he went up the stairs at Toy Story. I was terrible at spotting celebrities. I did have Cindy Crawford on my boat. Only figured out it was her because it was her daughter's birthday, and she had kind of a distinctive name, so I went home and Googled it and found out who it was.
I've had several celebrities, but it's not anything really that interesting. Had Joey Fatone on my boat, didn't know who he was. The skipper who was behind me went crazy about it. But all of my favorite stories were actually interactions with guests. And since it's a Skippers in Love episode,
please do.
I have this couple. It's late at night. They're the only ones on the boat. And on the Jungle Cruise, there's the idol, the gorilla holding the gem, the monkey with the gem. And just made a joke that, take a look at this idol here. One day, if you're lucky, a monkey will give you a gem like that. And she said he already did. He did today in front of the castle. And she showed me her engagement ring. Which just completely, you know, floored me. I was like, wow. And it's like, yeah, we haven't told anyone. You're the first person we told. It was like, oh, well, that makes it even more awkward and memorable. Thank you. Do you want me to lie so you can call your parents? It was really special. And then I actually threw him a bachelor party on the same trip. Went around, because you have the elephants with, they're all wearing their trunks, right? But for a special little bachelor party, when we entered, showed him the elephants without their trunks, which was the hippo pool.
That's exciting.
It was very exciting, yeah. Had the mood music, you know, moonlight. It was pretty nice.
I did a late night. I had just two people on the boat, very romantic. They wanted to sit in the back. So I did the entire trip in the voice of Barry White. Oh, yeah, baby.
We did a proposal at the Tiki Room. I had just gotten on for a closing shift and was told that, we're going to have somebody who's going to be proposing to his girlfriend after, I think, the 6:20 show. It's like, okay, cool. So I go in to exit the 6 o'clock show, And I had just gotten on. Like, this was the first thing I did on stage was exit the show. This guy catches my eye and gets down on one knee. And I'm like, ah, door's closed. Go get Steve. Because he'd gotten, like, the embroidered ears and all of that. So we get him over and we're standing there in the corner. And she's looking at this, you know, cool light-up box with the ring. And she's like, what do you want me to say? And in the corner, we're all, oh my God, this is the most awkward moment. And eventually she said yes, but it was...
I don't think that there's much sadder of a thing than being said no to. And it goes through every guy's mind. Because, like, with me, it was... There was definitely that thought, even though, you know, I knew that she'd already said she, you know, that she was interested. But there's always that thought in your head as a guy that you just... You wonder if you're going to get on the Jumbotron at Dodger Stadium... With a
well, especially coming from Jungle, I expected her to say no just to mess with me.
Actually, he will never let me live this down, but I didn't say yes right away.
No.
Has she said yes yet?
Eventually she did, but okay.
I had to kind of coax it out of her.
So we had only been dating for about 5 months, and apparently everybody else knew what was happening on this trip. We went up to Yosemite, which is, you know, where he's from. It was my first time up there, and apparently everybody else figured out what was going on except me, again, completely oblivious. And so my friend Julia, who had been with her boyfriend for about 7 years, you know, sat me down and said very calmly, you know, I love you, you're one of my very best friends. If you get engaged before I do, I will kill you. And Julia is 5'5", long blonde hair, terrifying. I love her to death. She has, you know... I think, like, a brown belt in martial arts. Like, when she says that, I believed it. So, you know, we're up that Glacier Point, and he gets down on one knee, and the first, you know, after, as my brain stopped working, because you got a Build-A-Bear in a tuxedo, it was freaking adorable, and it had the box in it, and I thought the box was just a prop. Like, so I was like, oh, it's so cute, put it back, and he's like, open the box, and my brain stops working, and that was the first thing that came out, was Julia's going to kill me. And then I eventually was like, oh, right, yes, sorry. I think it was...
Was it the same day? Or?
Yeah, no, I know.
Hours later.
No.
We were back at the hotel sleeping, like, oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it was Julia's
I was in the
going
bathroom
to kill
crying.
Me. Was Julia's going to kill me, kissed him. Yes, by the way, in case you hadn't figured
lies.
It out.
All lies.
So, yeah, never let me live that down.
She actually, it was after the wedding that she finally went back and realized, oh, when you asked me to marry you, I meant to say yes. That's how long it took. It was.
So now, do you think that the skipper mentality, the kind of brainwaves we get on, has it carried on into the marriage? I mean, do you have the...
Yeah, well, we had a running gag that was actually ruined by getting married when, you know, being in close quarters, sometimes you get, you know, body parts, you know, elbows and stuff that accidentally smacking each other and would make, you know, kind of the... It's like, no, I'm an abusive spouse! It's like, oh, babe, we're not married yet! You know, that kind of dead baby humor from Jungle Cruise. Yeah, carried over and kind of riffing on each other a lot, being able to...
But I mean, the question is, but you guys were both that way before.
Yeah.
You just had it amplified by your time at Jungle, so it just was who you were.
I think that, you know, kind of there were certain things about, you know, our experience there. You know, the way that we would deal with guests or kind of the coping strategies for getting through, like, a really long day or, you know, being able to kind of talk to each other, you know, the... Hey, why didn't you take out the trash conversation is pretty much the same thing as the, hey, stop maxing on your brakes, you jerk conversation. That, you know, you needing to have that, you know, saying something serious, but still not pissing them off, so.
Now, do you think, I mean, could you have seen yourself marrying a non-skipper? Or someone who didn't at least share that kind of a connection with you?
I actually didn't think I was ever going to get married.
We didn't either. None of us did either.
Yeah.
We were all as shocked as you
were. I was really surprised. And it isn't like, you know, the depressing, oh, I'm going to be forever alone. It's just like the thought of spending the rest of my life with someone and, like, just it didn't really appeal to me until I met, you know, Brittany, obviously.
That's how it is. It's lightning. It's the... Because that's how I am with mine is I didn't expect in the a blue moon that I would ever go there again. So,
well, my grandmother actually asked my little sister if I was a lesbian because I didn't date, and so it was just one of those, you know, we just want to know, you know, it's we're okay with that. It's like, no.
Her grandmother also asked her sister if I was a lesbian.
Yeah,
which I thought was a little awkward, but.
But, yeah, I'm not sure about that, because, like I said, it wasn't really in the picture, so I'm not sure if that would have...
See, and for me, I mean, I always needed to find someone who got my sense of humor, mm-hmm. and that took a lot longer than just Jungle Cruise skippers, because even among Jungle skippers, I think that I was more cerebral than a lot of people, and...
You think?
Yeah, often.
There was a certain amount, like, part of... Yeah, we were skippers, although we actually started spending more time together when we were both on trains. But part of why we came together is that we were both writers, and we were both specifically, you know, film and stage and all of that, so came in for that. So, we'll be out. Sorry, we're...
Are we close to our
I think we're a little past. I think people are going to start looking for us here.
Is there people coming?
Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah, there's a bunch, so...
We're in town, so, you know, everybody has to come and visit know... Actually, we're not sure when next time we're going to get back out here, just because finances, so...
Well, and we may end up doing more discussions and stuff, but any other, like... If there's a Jungle Cruise story that you tell everyone when they... find out that you were there, or a Disney story. Do you have a single story that you know, if it's going to go into the annals of Disney history on recorded form, is there anything you want to...
When they find out that I came from the jungle, they always ask, tell us a joke. And I still remember the spiel that I would give actually in the park, but I never tell them those jokes because I couldn't tell the jokes that I wanted to tell.
Well, it's all context, too. It's like, let me go get a boat and some animatronic animals, and I'll be happy to tell you the joke.
Yeah, it's imagine like, oh, look a at bunch those of giraffes.
Put on these 3D glasses.
Give you a viewfont, one of those old Viewmaster things.
So generally, I end up telling jokes that I wish I could have told, story of a submitted a joke for consideration and had the manager... in charge of the attraction come down and say, hey, I read your joke. Oh, yeah, thanks. You know, do you like it? Do you think it's funny? No, it wasn't funny at all. No, it wasn't funny at all. You are 100% right. It was terrible. Yeah. I'm going to go backstage and cry now.
We talk about how the worst guest compliment you can get is, that guy was great. I've never heard a single joke before that he told. It was a brand new script. And you would see the people who would get those guest compliments be, you know, I'll be upstairs in the manager's office for a little while.
Yeah, actually, one of my, it wasn't quite in the script, but got kind of absorbed, was part of my spiel, was, again, I tended to take... script jokes and add little non-script stingers on them because things went pretty fast, a lot of people didn't pick up on, but I was okay with that.
Because you may talk a little more rapidly than a
typical. You know, just a little bit. I've been told. So, it was the, okay, come on down, come on, all the way down, don't worry, I don't bite. Yeah, they don't let me do that anymore, too much paperwork. And that kind of caught on, the paperwork thing. And it was great, especially, like, at trains. I could be completely brutally like, oh, honey, I need you to sit down because if you fall out and you're probably going to get crushed under the train and just splatter everywhere, and that will be, like, an hour of paperwork, and I have homework tonight.
Yeah.
And the parents would laugh, and the kid would sit down, and everything was fine. And it's like, I could get away with saying the worst things to people because it was Jungle Cruise, and it was amazing.
That was always when we had, like, teenage kids on, it would be the, hey, you don't want to, you know, jump over those middle boxes because you'll trip and fall and I'll laugh, and that'll be really horrible in front of your friends. But there was one day I was having, like, one of the, you know, like, the terrible day you have every once in a while, and this kid was just being an absolute, you know, jerk to me. And I remember making a comment to him about, because if you cross over the boxes, yeah, and he just did it anyway. I'm like, great, well, you go out there and, you know, someone has to flip my hamburgers at the at the place that I get my food from. So, yeah, go out there and help provide the minimum wage jobs we all need. And everyone on the dock, of course, is, I told it better than that, was laughing. But
I did tell a kid he was a horrible person.
And
that was one of those, like, warning, because he'd asked, standing at front load, and he asked if anyone had ever fallen in. Which, you know, at one time I gave the answer, someone falls in once every about 3 to 4 months. Somebody asks me that about once every 3 to 4 minutes. You know, so he asks, but the way he did it was just so, like, has anybody ever fallen in? And I was just, oh, that's really nice. I bet, you know, if Indy's closed, you ask if somebody died. It's like, yeah. I'm like, that's okay. You're just a horrible person. And it was just like the, oh my God, what did I just say? But his parents laughed. So that's when you know you're good. Because the parents are the ones who would actually complain. Yeah. So, but
I think the end thing you just need to tell people is, yeah, people fall in, but the Oompa Loompas always rescue them. So that's always a good thing, so. Someone's got to do the backstage magic. Where are we at time-wise?
Okay. Or actually, I'm letting somebody know that we're in the hotel.
So anyway, guys, so that's, you know, I always have a great time chatting with people that I worked with, and we were friends. Jer, you and I had similar senses of humor. So we always did. I bonded in that humorous way as I was stuck at Indy for so damn long.
Yeah.
That whole time that you were getting the jungle shifts I wanted, so.
And it was wonderful. I'd wave.
Yeah.
I'd think of you as I stole a few of your jokes.
You know, and that's.
Or at least them.
That's one of those ones where I actually have. We have a couple skippers that are coming up that we're going to talk specifically about the concept of joke theft and if it's acceptable and when it's acceptable and. It'll be a fun episode, so.
I can put my 2 cents in on that.
Yeah, please.
Because I had unique, I guess would be the proper
yes.
word for it, Lodespiel, where if no one was listening, I would just talk about the Bengal tiger and how I came across the Bengal tiger. And he said to me, "Rawr," and I didn't know what he was saying because I don't speak Bengal tiger.
It goes on like this.
I do speak puma. And there is a certain amount of mutual intelligibility between puma and Bengal tiger, so we can kind of communicate, but not really, like, 100% understand each other. But, you know, he was really interesting, and he actually made me the best Earl Grey that I have ever had. And he has this recipe, if you're ever in the jungle, ask the Bengal tiger. He makes this lemon pound cake, and it is delicious. So we were talking, and, you know, he said, "Rawr," and I said, you know, I had never thought about it, but yeah, Kierkegaard is the father of modern existentialism. The moral of the story is a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush or something like that. So I would do that, and I would go on for as long as it would take.
He's been telling us. Oh, we gotta wait for the...
Baggage.
Yeah, the baggage.
The baggage, the wheel carts.
We all have baggage.
Yeah.
So a few other people tried to do something similar, and they were told by a lead at the time who wasn't a lead that you're not allowed to do that. Somebody did it before you, a lot better. You have to get permission to use it. So I actually gave Nick...
Bringing it back around and wrapping it up, that Kierkegaard line, pretty much why I married him.
See, but I gotta say, working philosophers into Jungle Cruise jokes, it's really hard because it's really quite a Nietzsche market.
And with that...
That's a good point, Dan, guys. Thanks a bunch, everyone. Once again, check us out. We have a brand new webpage at junglecruisecrews.podbean.com. It just got a big new facelift. We're also now on Stitcher Radio, so if you haven't downloaded your Stitcher app for your Android or your iPhone, it is a great app. The other Skipcast podcasts, Tales from the Jungle Cruise, Joey and Trevor Talk to Each Other, and Nerd 101 also can be found on Stitcher as well as on iTunes. Give us a yell, junglecruisecrews@gmail.com. We love to hear from you, and thanks again for coming down, guys. It's good to see you. It's been way too long, and Kungaloosh, everybody.
And let's go get some drinks.